show! You have all made it to the dance. You have all made it.
Coming to you from the X-Access, it's John of All Trades with your host, John X.
Welcome to the John of All Trades podcast, episode 362. I'm your host, John X. Thank you for joining us. Glad to have you back once again. And once again, I promised Kathy Sabin. Kathy Sabin is here in this episode, so I'm not going to belabor this. This is part three of the 10-year anniversary of this show. I have been doing this now for 10 years as of this month, and I cannot thank you enough. Whether you have listened to me since episode one, way back in 2014, or this is your first time here because you want to listen to Kathy Sabin, and I promise you she does not disappoint. I refer to Kathy as the First Lady of Denver. I think if you live here and you've consumed any bit of news, Kathy Sabin has probably crossed into your field of vision at some point. And you hope, when someone has that kind of presence, that kind of following, that kind of charisma, that when you sit down with them and spend time with them one-on-one, as I am fortunate enough to do, that they live up to that. And I will tell you, Kathy exceeds every one of those. Kathy Sabin has a way of making you feel like the only person and the most important person in the room that she is in. The way she looks at you, the way she talks to you, the way she engages with you is absolutely captivating. And so this conversation is a reflection of that. She and I have a very candid discussion about her career, about why she loves the weather, about why she's not resentful of her fame, how she guards some of her privacy, even though she lives a lot of her life out in public. She talks about her skin cancer. She talks about her recent injury that she had by tearing all of her hamstring muscles right off the bone. And we have many laughs, we have many insights, and it's an hour of delightfulness that I feel incredibly blessed that I get to do. So all I ask of you before we get to this week's episode, if you like this episode, if you like my energy, give us a like, give us a subscribe, give us a follow. No matter what platform you're on, you can hit subscribe and brand new episodes will come directly to you. I'm back to posting at a regular clip. You'll get one per week. Those usually drop on Wednesdays. This one was a special case. We had to do it on Friday. Secondly, social media, J-O-A-T pod is the handle. That's across platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Pinterest, Instagram, Blue Sky, Threads. I'm not on all of those. I would say Facebook, Twitter, Instagram are probably the highlights there. So if you like me, follow me on those platforms and do what you will with them. Now, without further ado, I'm proud to present episode 362. This is Kathy Sabin. She is the chief meteorologist for 9 News here in Denver. She is someone I've come to know over the last year, and I'm intensely grateful for it. So, episode 362 with Kathy Sabin starts right now.
Oh my gosh, I just asked my physical therapist that today. I won't know for a couple more weeks when I see the surgeon, as I'm only 4 months into a 6-month recovery for complete hamstring tear. It's like, if you're going to do it all the way. That's me.
You don't do anything half-assed.
No, apparently not. So
how
I'm
did you do that, by the way? I don't even remember.
It was kind of a horse-related accident, but okay. I can't really blame the horse. Okay. You've seen me. I'm very tall, like 5'11", like a giraffe.
There's a companion photo on this podcast. So yeah, you're taller than I am.
Yeah. And growing up, I was nicknamed all the bird names because I'm very tall with short torso and very long legs. So, you know, it was stork, dodo bird, roadrunner, all of that. So a little klutzy, a little long-legged bird-like. So I was riding my Palomino right before Thanksgiving, and he wanted to run up this hill. And it was slushy and icy, and I didn't really want him to, so I just held him in a bit, and I ride Western. And this horse doesn't do anything fast. He's just a big lover, sweetheart. And he protested because he wanted to run. And he did this crow hop, which is like a buck, where they go straight up and straight down.
Oh,
but
wow.
He didn't unseat me, but I came down hard in the saddle. Okay. And I was like, oh, my gosh, the horse just broke my butt. Like, horse, you broke my butt. Like, that hurts. But I was like, okay, shake it off, finish the ride. Went to Florida, walked 5 miles on the beach, went to the gym, did did my life, you know, no big deal. But I was felt a little nagging pain in my hip.
Really? Okay.
So then I came back from Florida right after Thanksgiving, got off the plane, and I went out to catch one of my horses after sitting on a plane for 4 hours, and I was chasing after him with my muck boots on because it was slushy and muddy.
Yeah, yeah, that's gross.
I slipped and I fell, and one leg stuck and the other one gave out, and I went down hard, and I tore all of the hamstring muscles and tendons off the bone.
Well, you put photos of that on social. Like, and it's
sorry.
Like, no.
Here's my butt. Here's my leg.
I love how you're apologizing.
Well, like, now that I look back on it, it's like, I don't know. Was it too much?
No, it was fine. But like, it was like black, you know?
Yes.
It was so bruised and so gnarly that you pretty much immediately went into surgery, right?
Well, I went to the – when I came – back from the fall.
Mm-hmm.
I laid out there for a while, by the way.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get up, right? And I knew no one was going to come and look for me because I spend hours in the barn. That's my happy place.
Yeah, right.
And so I knew my husband and my boys were not going to like come and look for me. So eventually I was able to roll over, get up and hobble up to the house, and I was trying not to panic anyone.
Yeah.
And my husband's like, "Are you crying?" And I said, "Yeah, I think I hurt myself." He goes, "What'd you do?" And I go, "I fell." He goes, "What?" And he started laughing because that's what I do. I'm klutzy.
Right.
And he goes, "Does it hurt?" And I'm like, "Mm-hmm." And he goes, "Walk it off. Just walk that off." And I'm like, "That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk this off." And I tried to walk and I couldn't walk. And I started crying. And he's like, "Do I need to take you to the hospital?" And I said, "Yes."
Yeah.
And he took me to the emergency room. I got admitted. And they couldn't do surgery for about a week because I had a huge hematoma wrapped around the sciatic nerve.
Yeah.
And I was just...
Bull.
Yeah.
That.
But the surgeon was so excited, and he's amazing, Dr. Gennario at Stedman Hawkins. He goes, "Oh, I have these athletes that come in with these partial tears, but you tore them all off. I don't get to do the full tear all the time." And he was excited.
Well, hey, anytime you can excite a surgeon,
right?
You're probably going to end up in a journal somewhere.
I don't. Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be all right.
I don't really want to be an overachiever in that way, though. But I'm so grateful for him.
You are an overachiever in many other ways, though. So, Well, this is Kathy Sabin, the first chief meteorologist, first female chief meteorologist, still with 9 News, back to 5 newscasts a day. And so you are one of the most relentless, one of the people with the most relentless work ethic I've ever met.
Oh, well, that is a huge compliment.
Because
thank you.
As we've gotten to know each other, so we met for the first time doing Vic Lombardi's show, which was really fun.
Who I adore. I'm his tallest fan.
Which... Tallest fan. Wow, he works with the Nuggets.
Oh, that's true.
So you may be outflanked there. So
okay,
whatever works.
I love him. Yeah,
but we hit it off pretty quickly. I mean,
you're pretty easy to get along with.
Well, as are you.
Thanks.
And so one of the things that is I think contributes to your success is you have a way of making everyone you're with feel really just special and present and in the moment.
Wow.
Because you've developed quite the following, quite the fandom. Because I know that because when I publicized this show that is airing, people were more excited for this than just about any other show I've ever
done.
No
way. That's very sweet of you to say, but
it's true. It's
crazy.
Empirically true, Kathy. Like literally, I can pretty much measure that.
Oh my gosh, that's very humbling, and
right.
I don't take that for granted, and I'm grateful every
day.
That's
the other thing. There's no like false modesty with you. Right? Like, because with some people, especially with the career that you've had, you know, doing things like the Today Show, becoming chief meteorologist, developing this following, it would be easy to almost get cynical about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And
mm-hmm.
and you see that with some people where they almost like resent the position that they've achieved. You get to the mountaintop, you get to a place of notoriety, and all of a sudden they go, "Ooh, I don't want this."
Mm-hmm.
You seem to have leaned into that, and you've maintained just a very positive outlook and a very welcoming, warming presence. And is there something you can attribute that to?
Well, first of all, thank you. That is the biggest compliment you could ever pay me. And I feel like you see me, and I appreciate being seen. I don't take that lightly at all, and thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I really like people. I'm very interested in people and their stories. I really am. and I really like the weather, and I'm really interested in the weather. And people ask me all the time, they say, doesn't it drive you crazy if you're at the grocery store, at the movie theater, at the airport, everybody comes up to you and they want to talk about the weather. And I'm like, I love it. Because weather is
you're
a
like, hell,
universal
I was gonna talk about it
connector,
anyway. Yeah.
Right? It connects us all. We all have an interpretation of it, a story about it. It connects us all.
Yeah.
Generally, the stories are positive, not always. Sometimes sure. weather can kill you, or they have stories where, you know, people have been injured or hurt or scared by the weather.
Or you've annoyed them because
exactly.
they think you're responsible for the weather.
Right. There is that. The shoveling, you know, 7 inches of partly sunny out of the driveway. I've heard every cliche.
Sure. You ruined my wedding.
Yes. Or can you give me the forecast for my wedding in 6 months? And then do I grab the magic eight ball or my crystal ball or just use my women's intuition because I don't want to let anyone down. I think that's just part of it. I feel like this job is such a gift and such a blessing, and I'm grateful for it every day. I know that not everybody gets to do this, and I know that in Colorado we're such a weather, you know, just a weather-friendly state, and everybody is outdooring, or they're
right.
flying, or they're adventuring, or they have animals. You know, we have a huge ag community out there. People really – the weather's important here, and it can kill you, and it can do something different any time of the year, and it's really difficult to forecast. So that's a huge challenge that I embrace every day.
Yeah.
But I also – I love that I feel like what we're doing, while some people say it's probably not, I feel like it is important, the information we're giving people to make good decisions, to stay safe, to keep their animals safe, to keep their families safe. So it's a daily challenge. No day is ever the same. And I just have to remember that camera represents a lot of people who are counting on me not to mess it up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
And you got to take the sarcasm and the mean emails and the I hate your hair or what happened to your knees or I hate that dress or whatever along with.
Who's taking the time to email you to tell you they hate?
People do.
Why?
Like, I don't know. It's hurtful and we try to brush it off and we all get the mean emails. But when they're about your appearance and you're trying to use your brain and give them content and information, it's like, judge that. Please don't judge my hair and makeup, which I do myself, and the outfits because I bought those. I'll work on that. Happy to do it. Continuing to try to do that.
Your point about the Colorado weather, we have sort of a maximalist approach to weather here. It's not like in San Diego, California, right?
Yeah.
Where that seems like it'd be a pretty easy weather casting job by comparison.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas here, I mean, we get it all. Hail, tornadoes, avalanches. I mean, I know that's not directly weather, but that's, you know, sort of
a result of
weather adjacent. Yeah, as a result of, I think is a good way of putting it. But to me, what's amazing to me is you continue to lean into this challenge. And, you know, at the point we talked, you were at sort of an inflection point with your career.
Yeah.
You decided to go back to it, you know, and you're still doing this. You have 5 newscasts a day.
Yeah.
What keeps you going in that level of determination? Because at this point in your career, you could either gear down or, you know, perhaps shift into something else, yet you're still pushing it.
It's interesting how, you know, as you age and you move through your career, I'm over 30 years at Nine News and closing in on over 35 to 38 years in the business. I worked at 4 stations in California before I came here. And I have 3 kids, and the youngest is a sophomore in high school. And when you're struggling to get ahead, you sacrifice a lot of family time, a lot of time with your kids and moments, and I didn't want to do that with my youngest.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to step back and enjoy that time, and I did. And I'm so lucky that my employer was so gracious to allow me to do that and still wanted to keep me, and I still felt valued and like a resource, and I felt important to them. And then when I was asked if I wanted to come back full time, it, you know, it's surprising, but it was, I realized I'm not done. I feel like I still have something to prove. At my age, there's a shelf life for aging women in television, but I'm hoping my, you know, the college degrees, the experience, the knowledge, the things that I've gained and learned here will carry me just a little bit longer and may still be valued in a day and time when maybe, you know, things are just so, you know, quick and fast, and maybe there isn't quite that value on education or extra certifications.
Interesting, because especially with the news business, what you'll find is the news business is tough because the hours are weird.
Yeah.
It's sort of an all-consuming lifestyle choice.
Yeah.
And you'll see, I mean, you've seen colleagues come and go from Nine News, and colleagues who I've really, really enjoyed watching.
Me too.
And, but they, you know, at a certain point, they just determine that they want to try something else, whether they go into PR or marketing, or they go into real estate or whatever it is, right? How does that level of grind not get you down? You know what I mean? Because this is a lifestyle, and the fact that you have 30 plus years in it, how do you keep yourself from getting burned out on it?
That's an excellent question. And that's something that I think all of us struggle with on a daily basis. You have to find a way to have balance.
Okay.
And you need to remember that being known on TV or winning an Emmy or winning a broadcasting award or being on the Today Show, while that is really neat and a nice feather in your cap, the important things are the relationships in your life, your husband, your girlfriends, your children, your parents, all of that. And you also have to be a little bit selfish and say to yourself, what do you need to just – like for me, it's exercise or running, like when I could run, when I wasn't injured, or horseback riding, just getting out and getting into nature and breathing in the air and connecting with God and just centering yourself. Give yourself that hour, the 2 hours. You will be better for it. You'll be better for your family. You'll be better for work. But I'm not going to lie. It's not easy, and there are days when you're maybe not feeling good or you have a headache or maybe you had too many tacos on Sunday night and you're feeling, oh, gosh, I look really bloated and fat today, or, oh, I'm all puffy. You can't hide anything on TV, and our viewers are so astute.
Well, you just pointed out sometimes you get emails.
Right.
Yeah.
And so there are some days where you just don't want to be on TV, and I look around at some of the people in the newsroom that are behind the scenes, and sometimes I envy them, you know, and I think because they can come in and work and no one's staring at them and criticizing them. And because I think as wonderful as and supportive as our viewers are, and I have such a loyal fan base after all these years, because of all the things that I've shared with them and how transparent I've been with my life, but I still think there's a large group who see people on TV as not real. They don't think we're real people with real lives and real issues. And as I shared my skin cancer journey and this hamstring tear and surgery, people are like, wait a minute. She looked like Frankenstein, and her leg was black from her hip to her ankle, and she looked like a monster. Or wait, she looks like me. I have people that have connected with me and shared their stories with me, that, and I'm so grateful for that. And I feel like if nothing else, if you can connect with one person and make them feel like they're not alone, or you can show that person you can get back to work, your marriage, your life.
Right.
If I can do this as someone in their 50s who's in television and I had half my face cut up because of two skin cancers, if I'm out there doing
stopping you?
Guess what? You can do it too. And if I can inspire one person, I'm so here for it, because that's really what matters, that part.
You know, Kathy, that's really illuminating, because I wrote about once upon a time we were going through infertility. To get our first daughter. And that's a whole process. So we were talking about, you know, doing IUIs and fertility testing. And so you can read stories that I wrote on my blog about some of the most intimate moments of my entire life.
Yeah.
And things that, you know, you do that you wouldn't necessarily put in a public forum, but I'm doing it for a purpose. What I found was when you put yourself out there, when you express vulnerability, which I think goes to your overall fandom and following that you've cultivated, it's because you express vulnerability. You're not putting on airs. You know, you're not putting on a facade. This is not Kathy Sabin, you know, like when you're doing the weather, we all get stage health. I mean, when I'm doing this show, sometimes I'm not feeling it. I'm going to interview someone. But as soon as the mics go on, I know what to do.
Exactly.
Right? So when the camera goes on, you know exactly what to do. But outside of that, vulnerability becomes an invitation for someone else to express what they're going through.
Exactly.
And so when I wrote about infertility, I had people reaching out to me like, hey, we're going through this too.
Yeah.
I thought I was alone. I thought I was the only one who knew this. And you go, man, what a gift we can give people when
because
we do that.
Because we have the voice.
Right.
You
we have a
platform. Because of what we do.
Right.
And it's a connection. And I've found through the, you know, three surgeries in the last year and a half, I've found that there are a lot of really lonely people out there. There are people that are really struggling.
Yeah.
They feel isolated. They feel like no one's going through what they're going through. No one understands. And they want to connect with someone.
They don't know that they want to, though.
No. Until they,
until
see,
they see it. Yeah.
You, who
yeah.
they think, oh, this person, there couldn't be anything possibly wrong with them or their life. And then when you express fear or you show them your scars and what's happening with you and you share, you know, how that's affected you and your job and your family and your friends, I think people are just craving real right now.
Well, 100%. So three surgeries in a year and a half.
Yeah.
You've got me beat because I've got two in the last
I'd like to keep you beat. That's okay. I figure I have my three, though. Things come in threes, right?
Yeah, yeah. So.
Uh-oh.
No.
Uh-oh for you.
No.
Sorry.
Alas.
Wait, I predict the future. You're fine. You're going to be fine.
But I will say, even on a personal level, when you were on Vic's show and you, the two of you were talking about your cancer journey, because Vic had prostate cancer, I think.
Yeah.
You had skin cancer. My wife had the same thing as you.
Yes.
And I still.
Yes.
She lives in my house.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm still not getting screened until I got together with you.
What?
And then I did.
Oh, I bet your wife just wants to.
Well, she was happy I eventually did it. She goes, oh, listen to Kathy.
Honey.
Like, you know, but.
That's so funny. Did you finally go?
Oh, yeah.
And you're good?
Oh, yeah. It was great.
And you'll go every year?
Oh, yeah. I already got it scheduled for May. So it's like every year in May now. Because, like, she checked. She's like, there's nothing I'm even looking at. There's nothing that, you know, worries me.
But it can pop up out of nowhere.
Exactly.
I mean, literally, I went my whole life. Yes, I love the sun. Yes, I grew up in Lake Tahoe. I've been skiing since I was two. I adventure.
Right.
I hike. I horseback ride. I love the beach. I love the lake. I water ski. I snow ski. I love it. But I wasn't smart when I was younger. Now I am.
Yeah.
And I never had one issue until one day they found something by accident that turned a basal cell carcinoma on my nose and then a squamous between my eyes. So it came out of nowhere. And
well,
now,
not nowhere, but yeah.
Well, I mean, you know what I mean?
As far as your consciousness.
Just,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, because I would get screened every
right.
year. You've got to go because they see what you can't see. And if they see it, they can fix it. And I go every 3 to 4 months because
since two
popped up, they're worried there could be more.
Yeah.
And so every time I see an age spot or something, you know, I start to panic. But it's all just about preventative care. It's easy. And we need to take our kids in as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because my husband and I have both had some skin cancers and Mohs surgeries. I took my 16-year-old. I was like, why? Why do I have to do this?
Right.
And I said, just going to baseline you and just, you know, let them – just so that when we do start taking you in and now you have a family history of this, we don't know if you're predisposed. But I met an amazing television news anchor named Marianne Bannister. She lost a teenage daughter to melanoma.
Jeez.
As a teenager.
Oh.
And she's a very big advocate for this and lots of information about this, the Marie Claire Foundation. But that was eye-opening to me.
Yeah.
You lose a child to this? And you know Bob Marley died of melanoma.
Right.
And his movie is out. They don't touch on it a whole lot. They say he died of cancer, but it was melanoma under his big toenail, and it went undetected.
Bleh.
And if you don't catch it,
yeah.
The survival rate is less than 20%. If they do, there's so much they can do.
Well, so Kathy, I wrote a blog post about this. It was before my first surgery, and I basically just put it out there. I'm like, look, I've never been under general anesthesia before. I'm scared.
Yeah.
Like, I'm worried that I'm just going to go to sleep and not wake up.
Yeah.
That, like, I wasn't worried about the pain or anything. Like, I can deal with pain.
Yeah.
I herniated a disc in my back at one point that shot hot pain knives down both sciatic nerves for, like, days straight. It was awful.
It does sound awful. That's worse than this.
It was gnarly.
Yeah.
But I have this theory that men are ultimately cowards.
No.
Yes. You know why?
Why?
It's because there's an old saying, and I can't remember who it is. It'll come to me. But when it comes to intergender relationships,
mm-hmm.
men are worried that women are going to make fun of them.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
This is true. Women,
because we do actually, though. Come to think of it, yeah, we do.
Women, and the
we
back
do.
Part of this quote is, women are worried that men are going to kill them. So, like, ultimately.
Literally or figuratively?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's so dark.
It's an incredibly dark quote. And I think it's Margaret
Atwood. There may be some grains of truth in there.
So, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now you're making me think.
But so men are worried that women are going to make fun of them. So you go to a doctor, and men are worried, like, you know, this doctor is going to imply that you're fat, or this doctor is going to imply that, you know, maybe you should drink a little bit less. It's easier to not know. Mentally, it's easier to not know.
Yeah.
Because you're afraid that you're going to hear something that you don't like because you have this fragile male ego.
Right.
And so,
you're being so raw and real right now.
Well, that's...
I love this.
Well, and
no wonder people love your show, because this is who you are and this you project through the microphone.
Well,
no, I'm sitting next to you and I'm telling you, this is... I love that this is... I see you.
Oh, thank you.
You saw me, I see you.
Well, I mean, if we're not going to be real this way, we're just wasting our time.
I know. And everybody else's who's listening.
Exactly. So
and thank you for listening, by the way.
100% always. It's been 10 years now that I'm still doing
Congratulations,
this.
Congratulations, by the thank way. You. That's a huge milestone.
Well, and I wanted to connect with you just because you are just such, like, I call you the First Lady of Denver.
Oh, my gosh.
So, but you have this magnetism where it's like, okay, I want to celebrate that.
I know. I was like, why? Why me? I'm not that interesting.
You know. Come
I'm really
on.
Not that interesting.
No, you are. What's amazing is, so yeah, I went and it's like, okay, I could stand to lose some weight. Great. My numbers were all generally pretty good, but then I found out I had sleep apnea through a series of further tests.
Are you the guy with the mask in the commercial and the wife who puts the dog in the bed and gets up and doesn't sleep?
Well, here's
you?
The thing. The mask, the CPAP, didn't solve the problem that I had because it was obstructing my throat. It wasn't
Whoa.
Up here.
So that's dangerous. Like, you stop breathing in your sleep?
Oh, Kathy, listen to this.
I'm making fun of you, but that's serious.
I stopped breathing more than 50 times an hour.
What?
Yeah.
Is that what sleep apnea does?
Mm-hmm.
Did any of you out there know that? I just learned something new today.
Yeah, that's what happens. You stop breathing.
Oh
my blood oxygen levels would get as low as like 54% in a night.
Would you snore? Like,
oh,
what would,
God,
what would
yes.
be an indicator?
No, I was like capsizing boats with how loud I was snoring.
Oh, my gosh.
So, and my wife.
We really need your wife on the show.
Oh,
I'd love her to weigh in on
She's
all
been
of
on
this.
The show. You guys would get a kick out of each other. You'd
I know.
Love each
I
other.
Think I love her already.
But we were sleeping in a smaller bed than normal. We were on vacation. I had the mask with me.
Oh, wow.
And she goes, I didn't know it was possible to snore while wearing a sleep apnea mask.
You did.
I was still snoring because my problem was in my throat, not in my sinuses.
Whoa.
I mean, I got that fixed anyway, but then they gave me an endoscopy when I was under.
Yeah.
And they go, yep, that is closing right up.
So what'd they do? Do they expand your...
No, well, I can do that, but that's a nightmare of a surgery, and I'm not doing that.
It sounds scary.
But so, no, I have the Inspire implant, so it's like a pacemaker. It connects through wires to an electrode implanted in the nerve in the base of my tongue.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, you have something in your tongue
that's yeah.
helping you sleep?
So when I turn
so sciencey, I love it.
When I turn it on, it moves my tongue to the correct position of my throat.
And how do you turn it on? You push the button.
I have a remote that I
Who
press.
Who controls that? You or your wife?
Me, because I turn it on, and then 30 minutes elapse, and then hopefully by then you're asleep because you can feel it. Like it.
How does it work?
It stimulates the nerve in the base of your tongue, and it moves it to where it's supposed to be.
Wow.
It's wild, yeah.
I mean, because those commercials are funny. They make me laugh. But this is scary and terrifying.
Oh, this is legit.
Incredibly, like, groundbreaking.
So, I'll show you the photo of the x-ray. My wife, they were x-raying me, like, in the bed. They have that thing where they put the, like, dark background behind you, and then they just come in with this portable x-ray machine.
And
they do
esophagus.
It like this. So, yeah, you can see this thing in my chest, wow. and then you can see the wires connected to the nerve in the base of my tongue.
Does it hurt?
No, I mean,
does it affect taste?
No, but if I turn it on, I can feel my tongue like
what happens if you drink a beer and you turn it on?
I would choke or gag or spit
you
it out.
You haven't tried that?
No.
Are you the guy at the airport that sets off all the alarms now?
Yeah, I get felt up at the airport now. So,
yeah. A little something extra for you.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, dude comes up with his gloves and he goes, okay, I'm in the back of the hand. And I go, great. That's,
the gloves are terrifying.
I'm like, all right, well, a treat before my pre-flight beer here. But anyway, so I went through all that, and I realized it wasn't nearly as bad. Even the skin cancer thing, which,
yeah.
So you're wearing the gown, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, all right, now hike it up.
Yep.
And I'm like, okay, you're awfully presumptuous, madam. She goes, don't be modest. But like she, you know, and she gets that like jeweler's wheel out and is like examining your whole body. And you go,
yes.
This is too weird.
It is very weird.
But like
until you have skin cancer and then you're like, please look at everything. Take your time. Go slow.
Get in there.
Like, yeah. Do what you got to. I swear. I'm like,
put on some
it.
Luther Vandross.
Yes.
Like what?
Yes.
It doesn't matter to me.
Oh, yeah. We just, catch up on our lives. Like, go
yeah,
ahead,
make sure we just I don't have any skin cancer. But you go through that and you go through it once. And you go, all right, I'm not worried. And particularly for women, though.
Right.
Because
and it's your face. It's my face, and I work on TV.
Your face is part of your moneymaker.
I thought money it was maker. Over. I learned
Did you
that
really?
My career was over
oh,
for
wow.
sure. But my plastic surgeon, he's like, I got you.
He's a genius.
Yeah, he's amazing. And I learned a lot through him. You know, he is a plastic surgeon, and
mm-hmm.
now he does more skin cancer repair surgeries than plastic surgeries for aesthetic reasons.
You know, my guy was a plastic surgeon, too,
yeah.
actually. So he does, like, rhinoplasties and stuff.
Yeah,
but,
this guy, too.
Yeah, so he did my septoplasty, and he didn't even make an incision under my
Ooh.
Nose. He didn't. No, he didn't. He didn't have to.
You're hurting me just by saying
He
that.
Went in through my nostril, and so you couldn't even see it. So I had splints up there for like a week. That's really unpleasant.
Did they stuff all the cotton up there and then they pulled it out and that was super painful?
So that was like the first day. And
I heard that's horrible.
Let's say it's unsettling. Like, in a weird way, it's satisfying because it's gone.
Yeah.
And you're kind of passing it, right? And then when they take the splints out, oh, buddy, that was one of the most deeply unnerving experiences I've ever had.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden, this hard plastic thing.
And
you go,
how was that in there?
Yeah. Right? Uncomfortable.
Yeah. No, but I mean, you're thinking to yourself, how was all of that plastic up in there?
Yeah. Like, how did you even do this?
How was that in there and how did you get that out?
Like, it's like a magic trick. It's like the tablecloth trick, right?
Yeah,
where all the dishes stay
up. Sounds awful.
But as soon as he did that, I took a deep breath in and I go, whoa, is this how you two-nostriled freaks experience the world?
Yeah,
I'm like, this is nuts. And like my nostrils stung for a while from all the air.
Yeah.
It was almost like too much air.
Wow.
Yeah. It was crazy.
Wow.
So oddly enough, this leads me to a question.
Oh.
Because you are...
I feel like I've learned so much. I want you to keep going.
Well, we can do this for as long as you want.
Okay.
When it comes to sharing, you are very open, as you said.
Yeah.
You had your face with all the stitches, looking all gnarly, looking like Frankenstein.
I have ear cartilage in my nose.
I remember.
Which is weird, right?
And then,
I can't hear out of my nose. Everyone asks that joke.
That joke's like 4 out of 10 for me.
I know, thank you.
Like, that's... Nah. Anyway, and then, you have your hamstring. You'll post photos sometimes when you're like in Florida on vacation.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that you keep just for you? What do you keep out of the public spotlight? Is that anything? I mean, I'm assuming there's sacred parts of your life and you don't have to divulge them necessarily here, but are there parts you keep just for you?
Yes. And the other thing is I really try not to post too much about my kids because my older two, they're okay with it, but not okay with it. But my youngest now is a sophomore in high school, and I have to ask his permission before I post anything.
I think that's wise.
And
that's just polite.
That is more than fair.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate because my three kids are the greatest thing I've ever done, the biggest accomplishments in my life. They're wonderful human beings, and it's bigger than going to the Today Show, winning Emmys, any of it. And that's what I want to post about. I'm so proud of them, and I can't. And sometimes if I do and I don't ask their permission because I'm so proud, they get really upset with me, and then I hate that. But it's like I'm so proud of who they are, but I get that they want to keep their privacy. And my daughter will say, Mom, when you post stuff with me, sometimes I get weird guys, DMing me or whatever. And I'm like, oh, I definitely don't want that, for you. And my husband, the same thing, not big on social media and just, is kind of, so some of that stuff, I try to sprinkle it in because I feel like it connects you to your viewers and listeners. If they have a glimpse into your life, they see, oh, she's married. Oh, coming up on 20 years. Oh, this isn't her first marriage. Oh, she has three kids. Oh, her husband has two adoptive boys. Oh, oh, wow, look at all the animals. I try to sprinkle stuff in with, there's just a fine line, and people in my generation are late to social media.
Mm-hmm.
I got pulled in kicking and screaming. I didn't understand it. I didn't want to do it. Had to start doing it through work.
Mm-hmm.
And now I understand that it can be such a gift and a way to connect with people and make them feel like you're talking directly to them. And if there's weather information that needs to get out, that's the first place people go. So I'm learning how to use that in ways that are helpful and maybe not just make it all about me.
Yeah.
But, social media is a lot about me or you. We love to post this. If we're looking real good, let's post that picture.
Right.
Or let's, show this, that, and the other.
Well, so I always have a photo with my guests. And there are times I'll look back. I'm like, whoa, boy, John, you were looking haggard.
No.
Like you were looking. Well, yeah, it happens, Kathy.
Well, I mean, for me, it is, but you look fine.
Oh, God, get out of here. We're not going to put this to a poll because I'm going to lose in an overwhelming landslide.
No.
Okay?
People love you on this show. Are you kidding? 10 years? Congratulations.
One of the risks of being out there on social media and having a public persona is I imagine you've dealt with creeps in your life.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah. Not so. I mean, at this age, not quite so much. But when I was in my 30s, I had stalkers. I had police involved. I had 3 restraining orders in my drawer at work at one time.
At one time?
I had security at public events because people would show up. Scary.
And
I
was weird, like
very weird. Yeah. I won't give details because I don't want to give anyone ideas, but
someone out there like with a notebook.
Okay. I will tell you one funny story.
Okay. Yeah.
One night I was working I think it was on a weekend evening, and some pizza boxes got delivered to the station.
Okay.
And the station, the crew at night was like, Kathy bought us pizza. You rock. You rock. Woo. I'm like, oh, I did not buy us pizza.
That wasn't me.
So they go to open the pizza boxes, and they're empty. And there's a VHS of a fire burning in a fireplace. There's a hotel key, and there's pictures. They had pictures of me at a public event and Adele at a public event.
Oh, okay.
And then there was a note in there about come meet me at this place or whatever. And I'm laughing because I was a naive girl back then. Ah. I thought, this is funny and weird and whatever. Let's get back to work.
Yeah, someone doing some avant-garde comedy bit or something.
Well, the station freaked out and called the police, who came, and they went to this location. And this person, this individual, was waiting for me and had pictures of some of us from events.
Yikes.
So they arrested him, and they found out he was someone who was, I think, bipolar, off his medication, contacted the family. So that was okay. And there was another man I will call Plastic Man.
Plastic Man.
Yeah. Yeah, that one was scary.
Mm.
So, yeah, I don't want to give any details about some of that. So I don't want to give anyone because that one freaked me out. But, yeah, so I really feel for some of the younger women now. And I try to be supportive and helpful in that way because I know that there are some women that are getting flowers at work and getting letters from people they've never met that, you know, in this day and age, you need to be very, very careful.
You got to be vigilant.
For sure.
Yeah. When you talk to younger female meteorologists, what is your biggest piece of advice for them?
Gosh, I wish this generation wanted to talk to us more. I wish that the younger generation wanted to just be a sponge and take everything in, because I feel like at my age, working at, you know, four or five stations and a lot of the things that I've been through along the way, getting married, getting divorced, having babies, having kids, trying to manage it.
Getting your advanced degree while doing all this.
Right. Yeah. Getting the 2 degrees and the seals and trying to prove that you're as good as every man out there and just as smart. I feel like I have things that I could help them with and talk to them about. And I so want to share those stories. But this is a confident group of young women coming up. And a lot of them, they don't, you know, I don't know if they need our advice and help or I don't know.
But they're not being as solicitous to you. They're not seeking you out.
Some people do, but some are like, I'm good. It's okay. And I love, look at me. I love talking. I love sharing. I would love for that to be my legacy.
Okay. Well, let's say maybe someone who aspires to do this is intimidated to come up to you, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
Right, wrong, or indifferent. They're intimidated by your career, by your legacy, by your accomplishments.
Yeah.
Okay. What would you tell them through this medium?
I would say reach out to me in a medium that you're comfortable with.
Right.
I speak to groups of young women all the time. I'll speak to young meteorologists at meteorology conventions, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people, and I have a stack of letters on my desk I need to respond to, so thank you.
Oh, nice, perfect.
Thank you. Write me a letter. Email me. Direct message me on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to connect with you. And maybe there's a way we could have a conversation on the phone. I can respond via email. And maybe there's even a way to even meet at some point. I've had fathers bring daughters in for a tour of the station. I'll talk to them about – I love to talk about my career and inspiring young women in science and math. And I think television is a great career. It's so different from when I started. And I'm glad I'm at the end of my career and not the beginning, because it's so different. And I liked how it was. This is a day and age that there's a lot of stuff I don't understand and I'm not good at.
What do you like better about it?
I think, well, I mean, back in the day, I worked at a station in Santa Barbara. They were still on typewriters. To me, that's like real journalism.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
like real,
I mean,
Woodward and Bernstein kind of vibe. Yeah,
yeah. This is going to make me sound so old. I mean, the weather office was in a closet, and we used satellite feed maps, and we stood in front of them. I like that. This new day and age is amazing. The digital platforms and the way you can get information out so quick on so many different platforms, amazing. But if you said to me, we need you to be a backpack journalist today, get that camera, tripod, mic, go out, shoot your own stuff, edit your own stuff,
wow,
get that sucker on the air and put yourself live, like these young women and men do at 9 News, they are amazing, our reporters. They are.
Yeah, yeah.
I couldn't do it.
Hmm.
I love to write. I can go live. I can ad lib all day.
Yeah.
I can't shoot my own stuff. I don't want to. I probably could edit my own stuff. I don't want to. Those are not my skills. I went out with a photographer who shot the stuff for me, edited it for me, stood there, put up the camera, made me look fabulous. And I know what my lane is, and that ain't it. And in this day and age, they got to be able to do all of it. And I'm in awe of these young men and women.
You know
day.
What it reminds me of? There's a joke from a comedian named Mitch Hedberg, who's one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
He says, when you're a comedian, people will ask you questions about things that are related to comedy but aren't exactly comedy.
Right.
You know, oh, you're a comedian. Can you write? You know, like, can you write for TV? And
yeah.
It's like, well, no, I'm a stand-up. That's what I do, right? So that's what you're describing.
Yeah.
He's like, that would be like going up to a chef and being like, oh, you can cook, but can you farm?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, because
yes.
the journalism skills are not 100%, like, you can't, you know, copy, you can't template them 100% on top of the other.
Right.
Right? So, like, I am a really good podcast producer. I'm a really good editor. I have 6 or 7 shows that I'm working on right now.
Yeah.
And I'm really good at that. But they're like, hey, can you do video? And I'm like, no.
Yes.
Like, I can't. I don't have that
vocabulary.
Television
today, you have to be able to do it all and not make a lot of money. Everyone thinks everybody makes so much money when you start out. You do not.
No.
The hours are horrible. You either get up at 2 a.m. and work until 1 p.m. or you go in like me at 2 p.m. and work till 11 p.m. You work weekend mornings.
Yeah.
Weekend nights. Hard on a family, hard on relationships, and to be able to, I see these young men and women with their literal backpacks on. They go out, they shoot, they edit, they go.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I couldn't do it. I don't even know that I want to do it.
No, I was doing a thing for a different client, and we were down at like Bike to Work Day.
Oh, yeah.
And so I saw, we were working with Brianna Fernandez down there.
Oh, yeah.
Because.
She's great. I just work with her on the weekend.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I saw you. We watch Nine News on the weekend mornings.
Thank
and so,
you.
Of course. Well,
we always wonder if anyone's watching.
I always wonder if someone's listening because, like, you put this into a machine, right? And then you put it out into cyberspace.
Yeah.
And then someone comes up to you and it's like, oh, yeah, I heard your show. I'm like, my God, that's right. People listen to this.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah.
Brianna Fernandez, who was a lovely person.
Yeah.
It was her and, like, a shooter. But she was down there, like, we got there at 5:30, 6:30 in the morning, something
Oof.
Like that.
Yeah.
And she did, I think, 4 live segments from down there.
Yeah.
So I was watching her just because, like, there's a lot of downtime when you're working events.
Yes.
You know, you're sort of like, and you're just kind of watching everyone else. She's going around talking to people and figuring out what her next segment's going to
yes.
be, what her next live drop is.
Yep.
And I'm going, people don't understand. Like,
They don't understand.
They think you're standing in front of a camera.
And then you're sitting down
just
having
talking.
Coffee and relaxing.
Yeah. And then, yeah, it's like Ron Burgundy, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it is so not like that. It is a grind.
It is. And that's why, you know, sometimes this business will churn them up and spit them out.
Yeah.
Not everybody can do it. Not everybody wants to do it. People think they'll do it for a while and then a lot of them leave for PR jobs or real estate jobs
uh-huh.
or different things like that. I think I've done a lot of jobs. I mm-hmm. paid my way through college and I've done a lot of different jobs along the way. And I think I just realized I couldn't sit behind a desk at an office all day and look at the clock and, oh, I've got a break at 10:15. I've got lunch from 12 to 1. I have a break from 2:15 to 3. I like my job is different every day. Some days I got to go in real early. Some days I got to stay real late. I never, even on a blue sky day, you can't really get comfortable because we're going out to the entire state. I know they tell
yeah.
us to focus on the metro area, the greatest, you know, largest populated area. But I got people in Glenwood Springs and Del Norte and Durango and Akron
Yuma.
And Burlington, Yuma, Glenwood Springs, Idaho Springs, you know, and they're like, hey, you know, what about me? And
yeah.
so there's always something. And when there isn't a, you know, a lot going on, then it becomes the challenge. Let's make this a teachable moment. What can I teach them? Can I take a picture of a cloud and explain what, you know, a Kelvin Helmholtz cloud is or a crepuscular ray or different things that we see in Colorado? What's upslope? Maybe take those moments and make them so then you can be creative.
Totally.
That's the challenge.
It reminds me of, I would always ask my wife, because she's like a big weather nerd too.
She is.
I'm like, what is it called when the rain doesn't make it all the way to
Virga.
The Virga. And so it took me 20 times asking her that to commit that to
okay,
memory.
Okay, I've got one for you. What are the soft little snow pellets that look like hail
oh, dear.
Called?
Oh, I don't know.
Graupel.
Graupel.
G-R-A-U-P-E-L.
Wow.
Graupel.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They're like those little soft.
I will lay that on her and okay. see if she knows that one.
Do you know what a crepuscular ray is?
No.
We call them God rays. You know
oh.
when the sun comes through the clouds?
Yeah, where it looks like a Christian greeting card.
Boom.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
a fun one to spell, too.
How do you spell that one?
Oh, boy. C-R-E, crepuscular, P-U-S-C-U-L-A-R, raise. Great muscular raise. If I had something to write with, I'd be able to double check.
Yeah, well, I'll get you a cookie or a gold star for that at the end of this. So that was really good. Okay, here's a question for you.
Okay.
When a blizzard is coming, I'm like Vic. I don't much care for the winter. I'm not big on snow. But I will say, if it's going to snow, give me a blizzard.
Really?
Yeah, because that's like an event, right? You go to a grocery store, you get your supplies, you make chili.
Yep.
Like, you know your kids are going to go sledding the next day. I love blizzards.
Yes.
From a professional standpoint, do you get excited for or do you dread something like a blizzard?
Both.
Really?
There's a lot of pressure. The days leading up to the storm are way more stressful than being in the storm and working extra hours.
Mm.
The days leading up to forecasting that storm and putting out the numbers that you're going to put out and worrying about being wrong. Because I've been here when we've forecasted a huge storm, 3 to 5 days out, 1 to 2 footer, keep grandma at home, save the bottled water, woke up to blue skies because it went 50 miles to the south. And then you have to explain that, and people are livid.
They're pissed, yeah.
On one hand, they're happy it didn't happen and disrupt their lives. But on the other hand, you literally, have been sensationalizing the storm all week.
Ah.
So the days leading up to the storm and fine-tuning and crafting and trying to put numbers out without panicking people, without crying wolf. And then when it happens, you're so relieved. Like this last big storm, I felt like we did really well with it. Like 5 to 7 days out, we nailed the timing, the amounts. You know, the big one a couple weeks ago, the 2-footer.
That one was fun.
Yeah. So the days leading up to it and the night before, you don't sleep a lot because we take our jobs really seriously. Yeah. Our faces are out there. Our names are out there. Our bosses are, there's lots of pressure. And then the day of the actual storm, while it's tiring, you're on a lot. You're talking a lot. We're doing extended coverage.
At least they don't have you standing at a highway off ramp these days.
Not anymore, but I've done that.
I know.
But yeah,
hopefully you've graduated out of that.
Of covering it are pretty fun, actually, but tiring. But it's such a relief when your forecast is correct.
Oh, yeah, I'll bet. You know, that brings me to an interesting question because there's a certain tenor in this country amongst, I would say, a fairly significant sect of the populace that doesn't trust journalists. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to instill, saying journalists are the enemy of the people and that kind of thing. Does any of that roll downhill to you? I mean, it's weather, so it's not journalism in the sense that I'm generally referring to
but
it.
But we're grouped with that.
Right.
For sure.
Does that happen to you? And what do you do to respond to that? And how does that make you feel?
I think sometimes if they're not crazy, if it's an actual valid point or email, you know what I mean?
Yeah, if it's not tinfoil hat stuff.
Right. If it's something that's like legitimate and actually valid, I think sometimes people just want to be validated.
Hmm.
They want to be seen. They want to be heard. They want to be validated. So I think if you can take the time to respond to them in a non-confrontational way and just maybe try to explain your point of view versus theirs, you have to be careful because sometimes people will email you and try to connect in a way that they're not going to let go. They want to pull you in and then they just want to keep it coming. And then you get defensive and then you want to respond and it becomes this
self-perpetuating cycle. Yeah, I get you.
I do this thing. If people are emailing me, and we have a lot of nice emails too, but if people are just emailing just to be mean, I have a response that usually will just stop that. Sometimes I won't respond, but if it's just really unnecessarily mean.
It's ugly, yeah.
Yeah, I will just say, thanks for taking time out of your day for writing in. I'm surprised by your comments considering I'm a complete stranger. I said, so whatever is going on in your life, I will pray for you.
Wow. Yeah, that really kind of...
And then it's like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't think you'd actually see this. Oh, wow.
What are you doing then?
Like, it's like, okay, now do you have an actual question for me or an actual observation? Because the viewers tell us when we're right or we're wrong or we're dressed in the way they like or not.
Or dislike,
speaking,
sure.
I listen. I do. But be nice. We're all human beings and... and where some of us are really sensitive.
Well, and I mean, I would argue it's counterintuitive, but to have any level of success in the public space almost requires you as a prerequisite to be sensitive because you are trying to convey something that becomes then compelling to strangers.
Yeah.
And if it's not coming from within you, then it's inherently phony and the public knows to reject that.
Exactly.
Right. So in a lot of cases, people who, you know, you might think have sort of Teflon skin, right?
Yeah.
Because you're on TV or whatever.
Yeah.
It kind of goes the other way.
Yep.
And the ones that hit so much harder.
Yep.
And that is brutal. And to your point, some people just want to bark at the moon.
Yep.
And okay, you've diffused that pretty effectively.
Yeah.
But in other cases, I learned this doing PR for as long as I have. We would host public meetings. And people will get up and be like, this project's going to ruin our town and it's going to make our traffic worse and blah, blah, blah. A lot of people don't even need you to solve their problem.
Right.
They just want to be acknowledged.
That goes to my point.
Yeah. That. And mm-hmm. So just from a different perspective, you don't have to solve someone's problem.
Yep.
You just have to acknowledge that you heard it.
Well, that's your point is interesting because coming up through journalism in my 20s, you know, you were told, especially as a woman, to have thick skin.
Yeah.
Be tough, be strong, woo, be Teflon. And then I think you learn along the way, to your point,
mm-hmm.
that the more real and vulnerable you are, the more the viewers connect with you.
Yeah.
Because they can spot a phony a mile away.
Yeah.
And they hate fake and they'll call you out on that. And I remember, you know, I think we've all done counseling off and on throughout the years for different – I mean, I got divorced, so I went to counseling.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, you'd go for different reasons. And I remember a counselor telling me once that – people who are performers or in the public eye, there's just something different about them. They feel things deeper.
Mm.
And sometimes, you know, the highs are higher, the lows are lower. You think of like a Robin Williams. You think about
yeah.
some of these comedians who are geniuses and just so on and so happy. But there's the pendulum swings the other way too.
Yeah.
And some of that, I think, is true for those of us that are just on local TV as well.
Well, and that's just physics, too. If you think about it, you know, everything has an equal and opposite reaction. So as high as you can get, imagine that there's also a depth
right.
that you can then plumb in that way. God, that's I hadn't thought of it in exactly those terms. That's really fascinating.
Yeah.
Wow.
So sometimes I remind myself of that if I'm like, oh, I'm really – that hurt my feelings, or I'm feeling really sensitive and emotional and I get mad at myself. I think, wait a minute. Those are the things that make me good at what I do and make people connect with me. You know, it's okay. And that's
right.
also part of who I am, and this is the profession that I chose. And there's a lot of people in professions like this that are like me. I just tell myself
oh, yeah.
these things.
So, okay, I've worked on ballot measures and I've worked on public opinion pieces, right? And they say 20% of the people are going to be with you, like, you know, dyed in the wool. They're with you. They're on your side.
Yeah.
20% of the people, you're never going to get them to change.
True.
Right? And so.
And that's hard for some of us who want
right.
everyone to love us and like us.
And then the 60% in the middle are sort of open to suggestion one way or the other.
Yeah.
So when you get a really nasty email, file that in the 20%.
Oh, that's a good rule of thumb.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, this is not someone who is being reasonable. This is not someone who, they just have an axe to grind for whatever reason, and you happen to walk into their field of vision, and you become
the
recipient of their venom.
I'm the type of person, I'm like, I can win them. I can kill them with kindness and love. They're clearly going through
it's
something
a trap,
in their
Kathy.
Life.
It's a trap.
I know. I fall for it every time. I know. That's one of my flaws or weaknesses,
yeah.
I guess.
Well, I mean, of the flaws to have, that's right? That's a pretty benign one.
I'm going to keep telling myself that. Thank
right.
you.
Right. I mean, the fact that...
Can I be on your show every day? I'm going to leave feeling really good about myself today.
I know a lot of people would love that. That would be phenomenal. Do you have a favorite Blizzard? I want to come back to that just real quick because I have a favorite Blizzard right off the top of my head.
You do?
Yeah.
Now, you know, I've been here 30 years. So there's
mm-hmm.
been a lot.
Yeah.
I think
this one's in that time span, too.
Yeah.
So
there have been a few. I remember, I think I even posted this, like, it was 20 or 21 years ago to the day of the storm 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Nelson was still working at our station.
Oh, okay.
Then he was, I think, chief meteorologist, and I was weekends or mornings or something. And we knew this was going to be a big storm. And so, let's see. I ended up sleeping at the station on a beanbag in the green room. Mike left, but he got in, and I think Nick Carter worked with us, and he got in, but none of the news anchors made it in, right? Just the weather team. So I, in the clothes that I wore the day before on like 2 hours of sleep, I anchored the morning news.
Jeez.
Then Kim Christensen came in, and I posted this on my social media.
How did she get in? Like,
I don't know. She's been here forever. She knows how to do this.
Okay.
She got in. So Kim and I were anchoring the news. Mike Nelson and Nick were doing – Mike was doing weather at the wall. Nick was out
okay.
until more and more people would get in. But it was like a 2 or 3 footer. And we had some pictures of like people like Chris Vanderveen who were out there who look, he looked like he was 12. He's out there reporting, you know, in the snow.
Yeah, he looks like
and
Nancy
Kim and
Sluggo.
I look so young. It's actually on my social media, but that's okay. One of the ones I remember.
This,
because
so this was 03?
I think so.
Okay.
I slept on the beanbag, wore clothes, and I anchored, didn't do weather. I anchored the news because there were no news anchors there.
Because that is my favorite blizzard.
It is?
I love that one. Because yeah. I was in college.
Yeah.
So I'm up in Fort Collins, and the snow is starting to fall.
Yeah.
I was a genius because I scheduled classes starting at 2 p.m. on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Yeah. So that I could sleep in.
You could predict the future, too.
And so my roommates come back from their classes, and I'm getting ready to head to campus. And they go, hey, all classes are canceled starting at 2 o'clock.
Oh.
Like, my class starts at 2:10. I'm going to settle in.
Can you help me with the next storm? That was very forward thinking.
Well, I mean, that was all semester. And it was right after spring break, too, though.
Yeah.
So it was awesome. But we ended up, the girls who lived two houses down from us ended up putting a ladder up to their roof, and we ended up sledding off the roof. So they shoveled a bunch of snow off their roof, so we had a ramp down at the
bottom.
That's
how I broke my arm in fifth grade, by the way. Sliding off a roof. Don't do it.
Kathy, when you said you were clumsy.
I know.
I didn't totally believe you.
Although I didn't have a saucer, so maybe that's why.
Mm. We did have a saucer, and we had a longer one.
I think I it was a shovel. I think I sat on a shovel.
Mm.
How's that? Can you picture that?
Off the roof. Oh, like It's a Wonderful Lifestyle.
Yeah,
like at the beginning.
Broke that thing. Boom. Yeah. Good stuff.
That's phenomenal.
But see, that's to your point and to your story. That's the thing I love about my job and I love about weather is here we are reminiscing about something 20 years ago that we both remember like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
You're laughing. We're smiling. It was a big, dangerous, you know, storm that shut down the city, and we have fond memories. And that's the neat thing is I could walk up to anybody in this room or out on the street and have – it's an easy conversation. It's an easy icebreaker. And I do – to what you said earlier, I do try to remember that because of what I do and also because I'm almost 6 feet tall. People may be intimidated. And so I try to approach new people I meet like they are. And so I will be the first one that says hi, and I will be the first one to shake their hand because I try to remember if that was me and this was someone – like, you know, one of my idols, like Janice Huff or Katie Couric or somebody.
Sure.
How would I feel? Not that I am of that stature, but I try to put myself in that, you know, to.
Well, that deep level of empathy, again, is something that connects people. You know, it's like just being able to see. That's what that was the whole origin of this show. There was two things.
Yeah.
So since we're 10 years, I may as well share this. But the first question we ask as Americans in particular, when you meet someone new, if you don't know them, is what do you do?
Yeah.
Right? And so people spend all their time working. And when I would reach out to people, they're like, why do you want to talk to me? This isn't interesting at all. I go, yeah, but to you. See, you do it all the time.
Yep.
To other people, it's totally foreign. It's totally alien.
They want a glimpse through that window.
Yeah, you want to. I like to say you're peeking through the keyhole.
Yes.
Which is maybe a little creepy and stalkerish, but like you're getting.
But kind of exciting.
Kind of. you're peeking through the keyhole into someone's life, and you go, wow, okay, so this is what it's like in there.
Yeah.
Like that's crazy.
Because it's never how you imagine it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're basing that off of our own experiences.
Oh, exactly.
And
so for me, I go, if we can all get to know each other a little bit better and build our empathy, the whole world becomes a little bit less scary.
I love that.
And so that's the whole reason for this and why I can't give it up. I've tried to quit this I don't know how many times.
No, you can't. There's a reason you're still here in this successful.
Kathy Sabin says I can't quit.
No, after 10 years, congratulations again. And these messages that you're, you know, sending through your broadcast to, I think just people need to hear them and they need to be reminded of that. Because we live in an age where everything is, there's so little social interaction and social connection and conversation in person.
Mm-hmm.
It's all on a screen,
yeah.
Your phone screen, your laptop screen, your, you know, iPad screen. And oh, I just think that's so sorely missing because I don't know about you, but sometimes when I text with people, my tone comes across wrong. Theirs comes across wrong. You read too much into it. You overanalyze it. But I'm sitting here looking you right in the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I can see everything you're feeling. I can see, you know, the little crinkles by you're smiling. Mm-hmm. It's like a safe space to talk. I can see when you're talking everything you mean.
Yeah.
And you can see me that I genuinely mean what I'm saying.
Exactly,
and that I care
yes.
and that I'm really here and leaning into this as opposed to some lines in a text or whatever. Every day I'm like, you know, what's the tone of this? Did they mean it this way?
You're overthinking it, yeah.
Yeah, so that, it's just.
Yeah, we're all deep in our feelings, I agree.
This is such a good reminder.
I love this format. I mean, this is a phenomenal way of connecting. And the way I think of it, and so I don't normally talk about this, but what the hell? We're 10 years in.
Go.
This is why when I'm addressing the listener, it's always in the first person singular. Mm-hmm. Because when you're listening to something like this, you are usually by yourself. Mm. Maybe you're walking your dog. Maybe you're at the gym. Maybe you're in the car. Maybe you're just sitting at your computer, you know, filling out spreadsheets or whatever.
Yep.
But you're not doing it in a group. Mm-mm. And so I always say, thank you for listening. You know, it's a pleasure if you enjoyed the show. I don't say if you guys like this or if you all downloaded this or whatever.
Yeah.
Because, like, there is an audience that is greater than one.
Yep.
But the way you experience the show is as an audience of one. And so that's why I only use the second person singular and not the second person plural.
Well, and I love that we're actually in a studio right now.
Right.
Sitting right next to each other looking.
Because
you gave me the option, with scheduling, if we need to Zoom. And I'm like, it's not going to be the same.
No.
It's not the same.
No, and I agree.
Because I'm not even paying attention to the mic. I'm just looking straight at you. Like, we're having a conversation over coffee and we're catching up.
I'm just trying to be polite with your time.
I know. I love that. But this is so much better and
this
so
is
real.
Way better.
And hopefully it's, you know, it's sort of going through the mic and people are.
Well, and I like to think of it as you, me, and the listener.
Hello.
So
they're
sitting right here with us.
Yeah.
Just getting to peek in on two people having an engaging conversation.
Yeah. So. And I'm just so grateful for all of the listeners and the fact that I've already won. Just the fact that you've asked me to be here on this show with you, it's like I've already won. It's like I've already achieved all my goals.
That's overwhelming and totally flattering.
It's true, though.
But thank you.
I mean, and I'm so grateful to everybody out there listening that has known me and supported me all these 30 years because I came in my 20s. You know, I was just so green and young and, you know, I had two little kids and I was married and then I got divorced and then remarried. I had another baby and I'd shared all of that stuff. And just everybody out there, y'all have been so supportive and stood by me through everything. And that's allowed me to share more because I feel like it's a safe landing pad because I know that there are a lot of you out there that got me. You know what I mean?
You know what's funny? This is a subtle thing. You're addressing the audience in the second person plural. If you all got me, like everyone out there.
Is that good?
Well, so it's like the exact opposite of what I just said
of
how I do it though, right? Because your rhythms are to a different type of audience.
Yeah.
You know, like when you're talking to a TV, that feels more communal.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Like, because maybe you're watching TV alone.
Oh, so I'm making it plural and you're making it singular.
Yeah. So when I address the listener, it's always just you.
Oh, and I say you all or everybody.
You know, all of you listening out there. Right? So that's why I just say thank you. Just you.
Thank you.
Like the individual listener.
Thank you.
Well, Kathy, we could do this all day, but I know you got things
I'll come
to
back
do.
Anytime.
So now's the time on the show when we do plugs. Where can people find more Kathy Sabin?
Oh my gosh! I mean, 9 News. I'm on at 4, 5, 6, 9, and 10 p.m. Monday through Friday. And then social media. I think the handles are Kathy Sabin 9. If I remember right, does that sound right? I'd have to look.
Whatever it is, I'll put it in the show notes.
Okay.
I'll put it in the companion blog. I love how you don't even know your own show.
I know, isn't that funny? I'm like, it's like my own phone number. We should do this sometime. We should do another show, a happy hour show.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, let's definitely make that happen.
That would be fun.
And I teased this in the social when I was promoting this show, but we didn't talk about our burners because we
oh,
both have burners.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Just had to at least acknowledge that we didn't quite get there. But.
Well, we have a Bernese Mountain Dog. I've had many of them over the years. And ours is named Vin Scully after the baseball announcer.
That's
big
a phenomenal
baseball,
name.
Baseball families. His name is Scully. But here's a fun fact for you that you didn't know.
Hmm.
His brother is Parker the Snow Dog, the Loveland Ski Area mascot.
Oh, wow.
That is my dog's brother.
Oh, cool.
They're from the same puppy litter. And so Dustin Schaefer, know him so well, and he has my doggie's brother, Parker the Snow Dog.
Fantastic.
Yeah, they're amazing. What's your dog's name?
Birdie. Yeah, my kids love her. She is, it was so
Wait,
funny.
Wait, what's with the name?
My kids picked it.
Okay.
So we got her from an organization called BARC, which is a terrific organization. They rescue dogs out of puppy mills and take them out of circulation.
Yes. We've rescued a couple as well.
Oh, from
it's
BARC?
It's hard to find this breed, though, in a rescue situation.
It can be. But BARC is a great organization. My wife drove to Kansas to get her. So, and brought back, like she did a run. She brought, I think, 4 or 5 of them back.
Oh, if she does that again, call me.
Okay.
Because I think we're going to get another puppy here.
Oh, my. All right.
Yeah.
We're not in line for another another puppy. I don't need more subordinates in my house.
I know.
Right? So,
I know. They're awfully cute, though.
But so she was called Blossom, and my wife read, if you can keep the same first sound the same, they'll respond to it. So we went through a bunch of bee names. The kids picked Birdie. They loved it. So,
I love that.
What's so funny about the Burners is they are really smart. Mm. They are obedient. They're eager to please. Mm. They're ready to.
They're lap dogs and they're 100
pounds. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mine's 85.
Yeah.
But they have an expression as such that makes them look just blindingly stupid. Oh. Right? You know, they're like, huh?
Yeah. They're and, just like big, fluffy.
Mm-hmm.
Fluffy, I don't know, teddy bears in a
yeah.
way. Oh,
well,
they're the best.
Kathy, anytime you want to do this again, you're welcome back here. So.
I will come back anytime you'll have me. That would be fun.
Yeah, well.
Maybe we can get Vic, the three of us.
Oh, that'd be fun. Yeah,
because
Vic was actually my 9th anniversary show.
He was?
Yeah. So that
and
was a good one.
He just knows so many great Denver stories and has been in this business
Vic's
so long,
a different
too.
Style of interview than
is.
You are.
Oh.
So.
Well, when he interviewed me, too, he's yeah. different than you.
Yeah, yeah.
He made me nervous, actually. Because, you know what I mean? He kind of yeah. comes out of it's like, wow, where'd you come up with that question?
Vic will snipe in with, like, something you're not really expecting.
Right. Yes.
It's almost like Socratic method.
Yes.
So, but you are an absolute ray of sunshine.
Oh,
the First Lady of Denver.
Thank you. Oh, my gosh.
Thank you for being on the show, and I wish you nothing but continued success.
Thank you so much. Happy anniversary. There's a reason you're this successful and still going at 10 years. Let's go another 10, and I'll come back
you.
Anytime. And you know where to find me with the next big storm. Call me.
Okay.
We can talk about that, too.
No, and... And if you happen to not be working, we'll grab cocktails. We'll make some chili or something.
I would love that.
That would be great.
Oh, my favorite thing is just to be able to sit back and enjoy the weather and not have to report on it. So, yeah.
It's quite the push-pull you have
it
in your
is.
Life.
It is. It is.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kathy.
Thank you.
And that'll do it for episode 362 of the John of All Trades podcast with the one and only Kathy Sabin. Hope you enjoyed it. I'm thrilled to bring this to you. Thank you for 10 years of listening to this show. Here's to 10 more, as Kathy said. Tomorrow is promised to no one, but... I'm just thrilled that you've let me be a part of your life for as long as you've let me be a part of your life. So, thank you, thank you, thank you. 10 great years. I got a brand new show coming next week. We roll right on. So I hope you enjoyed Kathy Sabin. Please stay tuned for more episodes. Facebook is the only place for exclusive episode previews. Those go up on Mondays, sometimes Tuesdays. That's J-O-A-T pod is the handle. New episodes drop usually on Wednesdays. I'm on all the podcast platforms. iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Pandora, wherever you get your pods, I'm probably there. Leave me a rating, leave me a review, hit that subscribe button. Brand new episodes will come directly to you. The John of All Trades podcast is a production of Deft Communications. Check out Deft on the web, DEFTCOM.US. Yes, I am a communications professional, so if you're doing something in the public sphere, I might be able to help you get a campaign going. If you have an idea for a show, I currently produce 6 others. So if you have an idea for a podcast, I'd be happy to help you get it on wheels. Or even if you just want to bounce something off of me, maybe it's for you, maybe it isn't, I'll give you some honest counsel. DEFTCOM.US. I am out of here. Thank you again. I cannot appreciate you enough. And until I hear you again, and I hope I do very soon, say goodnight for this evening.
That's good, Johnny.